We never saw this coming. Life had its usual rhythm, work, family, school. Then it happened. Now, here we are. Faith in one hand, doubt in the other, wondering which weighs more. We stand before you, Lord, hurt and confused. Some of us are on our knees in shock. Our hearts weep with deep grief. We never saw this coming. Not today, not now. So here we are, broken, hurt, worried, wounded. But we don't have to wonder where you are. You promise to be close to the brokenhearted. You save those crushed in spirit. You heal us and bind up our wounds. You are the God of comfort. You weep with those who weep. You are not a God that watches from a distance. You are a God that steps into our suffering. You promise to wipe every tear, so we bring you all of them. You bind up the wounded, so we uncover our hurt. You bring beauty from ashes, so we hand you what's left. We call for your comfort. We call for your promises. But most of all, we call for you.
Amen. So we want to say good morning to all. And thank God that you're here, that He bless you with health and strength this morning to be able to see another day. Thank Him for that. Walk with Him. Be with Him. Let Him reign in your mortal bodies. Amen. Thank God for all the things that He's blessing each and every one of you today with. Give Him the praise. Amen. I want to say at this moment that you all are welcome, welcome, welcome in this space that we call worship. Thank you, Father. Amen. I pray and I have great hope that everybody is having a wonderful day. You made it to God's hospital, to God's counseling session, to God's presence in your life, where God and the Holy Spirit, Jesus the Christ, this is where they all dwell, within the spoken word. Thank you, Father, for this day. Now, with that said, do we have any praise reports? Does anybody have something that happened in their life that you would like to express to us and let everybody know that God did something good, something spectacular in your life, so that we may shout right along with you? Amen. Any praise reports this morning?
Yes.
Okay, bring it on.
All right. So I think that was Monday. Monday I went to Texas Workforce to talk with them about to see if they would help me get into the CDL program. And so they were kind of rude with me, kind of dismissed me. They say they didn't do it, don't offer that, this and that. I said, okay. Well, I called one of my clients. He's a teacher at Houston Community College, or well, they changed the name. It's Houston City College, I think, now. And so he's the professor up there for the CDL. So he said, well, man, just come up here, talk to me tomorrow. I'll show you some stuff, and then we'll go talk to the ladies up front, see what they can do for you. I said, well, okay. So I went up there. I saw him. We talked in his room for a while, which I would like to pray for his son. His son's been disabled for about 30-something years, and they had a recent little episode where they possibly could lose him. So I'm gonna pray for him on that as well. But anyway, we went and talked to the ladies, and so you know, I talked to the lady. I said, "Well, you know, I'd like to get in the program, but do y'all have anything where I could, you know, pay on it, or y'all have anything where y'all got some type of program?" Because she was like, "Well, you know, can you pass a drug test? You got a valid driver's license?" I'm like, "Yes, ma'am." She say, "Well, take this application, go back here in this conference room, and somebody be here to talk with you in a moment." So I went into the conference room, waited about 15 minutes. A lady came in, she talked with me. It was a believer. She was a believer, and she was saying how she was talking with me and talking about how these people entrusted her with the $500,000 and to give it to the people who, you know, she want to give it to people who really deserve it, and this and that. So, you know, I'm talking with her, then I realize I'm in an interview. And so she said, "Well, if your application went through and everything was good, then I'll be back with your student ID number." And so, you know, I'm sitting there a little confused. So she walked out, and then she came back with a sticky note with my student ID number. She said, "Congratulations, I'm gonna give you a scholarship to the CDL program."
Wow. What a blessing.
Yeah.
Blessing.
It's a big blessing. Big blessing. All praise to God.
They gave you a scholarship on the spot.
Yep, on the spot. You know, God has really blessed me in the education area, because when I first tried to go to college, my college took my money away from me, and I wasn't able to go. And then tried again, and some stuff happened then. And so went to the Barber College. And last year, I found a program that allowed me to discharge the loan. And so my loan for Barber College was paid in full and discharged off my credit. And then this was a scholarship that he gave me. So even though the first college I went to, they took my money, God has paid for all my education since then.
Well, you can't beat that. You can't beat God's giving.
Amen.
So stay with him. Don't let him out of your sight. The Bible tells you, follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. And you begin to understand who God is. What is he in your life? A lot of people don't understand that God is a part of their lives, and they think some of these things, they think that it happened just because it's them. Things just don't happen just because it's you. They happen because a door opens for you. An entranceway opens for you. Or God opens the door for you. It's not about your money and, you know, all that you got and your swagger. A lot of times God have done things for you that you can't see, because you can't see God anyway. But you know that some things that, hey, this had to be God. These folks didn't know me. But obviously, they heard the voice of God, and they moved on it on your behalf. Amen? Amen. Okay. Do we have any other prayer requests this morning? We're going to have an altar call this morning and pray for everyone. Okay. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this moment. And thank you for this time that we have in fellowship before you, Lord. And we just thank you that every spiritual and natural need is met in thy Son Jesus' name. Father, as we come before you, we thank you that you are Lord of all, that you created everything. And did you call our name out in our mother's womb? They didn't know our name, but you already knew it. For you are worthy to be praised. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, that he is worthy to be praised, that he gives us God's information all the day long. no matter how disobedient we are, that was your commandment. For he's worthy to be praised. And thank you for Jesus, that his invite into the kingdom have blessed all of us on the spot. And we just thank you that each and every spiritual need is met. Now today we come praying for Ricky's teacher, his son. Father, that you blessed him with the gift of life, and we pray that you continue to bless him with the gift of life. We pray that you touch him with the Spirit of God and move into that situation and cover him in the blood of the Lamb. Show them what they need to do, Father, and walk them through it. We pray for Sister Tina this morning. She's not here, but we're praying for her because she's going through a few things, and we pray that your will, your way, your commandments touch that situation and heal it for her and give her the mindset to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And we pray for all of these, your children, those that have accepted in the beloved, that you watch over and keep them as well as their families in the blood of the Lamb of God. They are blessed and anointed and covered and watched over. And Father, we thank you for all you do. We thank you for the system of God, which is found in your commandments. And we glorify your name and all that we do in the righteous stage by following you, following your word, keeping your commandments. Thank you, Father, this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray, amen and amen. Let the word flow today, Father. Use me for your benefit and for your glory. Amen. Now we have quite a lesson today. The lesson today, we started last week. And this week, we will continue on in it. The title of that lesson is, Who Told Thee That Thou Was Naked? Amen? Amen. In this lesson, we covered quite a bit last week, which we'll go over. But in Genesis 3:11, if you have your Bibles, pull them out. And I pray that you keep up with me today because I've got a lot of unpack and a lot of scriptures to go through. So bring your hat. We're going to do a little traveling. Bring your boots because it's going to get a little bit deep today. Amen. Now let's get into it. As my son says, let's go on down through there. Amen. It says, Who told thee that thou was naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? Now, this statement is not just about physical nakedness, but it's also about the deeper spiritual truth that they had lost their innocence through their disobedience. Adam and Eve lived in harmony with God and with each other, with no shame, no guilt, no fear of being naked. They were always naked, but felt no shame because their relationship was pure with God. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, when you were born and you were a little child, you didn't know that you were naked. Your parents was kissing on you and hugging and loving on you. And the only way you knew that you were naked is when you got to a certain age and you knew that they put diapers on you and lotion and, powder, those type of things. Then you began to understand. But before then, you were innocent. And that's where they were in the kingdom. They were pure. In Genesis 3:11, God asked Adam a profound question. Who told you that you were naked? This question marks a pivotal moment in humanity's history. The moment that sin entered into the world and fundamentally altered the relationship between man and God. Now, today we will reflect on this question and explore the deeper implications of sin, shame, and the shift in humanity's double awareness. Well, what do you mean, Elder? Awareness of the commandments of God, because God created all of us, and the acknowledgement on our insides of when we sin. As we examine this verse, we will see that Satan's introduction of sin brought about a knowledge that led Adam and Eve to turn away from God, see themselves through a different set of eyes, and to judge themselves through a false sense of accountability, causing them to experience guilt and shame for the first time. Now, the fig leaves that they used was their attempt to conceal the shame and guilt they felt after sin entered into the world and they saw through a different lens. In life, we often try to cover our nakedness, our weakness, our mistakes, and our insecurities with various ways. These coverings may not always be physical either, because some are emotional, some are psychological, and even spiritual attempts to avoid facing our vulnerabilities. Who told thee that thou wast naked? Here are some common ways to cover up their nakedness. Now, last week, this is what we covered. Number one, self-deception. This is when we convince ourselves that everything is fine. Number two, pride and defensiveness. Covering up one's true vulnerabilities or mistakes through our pride. Busyness and overworking. So busy that we won't have time to deal with our mistakes. Materialism and success. Sometimes, to cover up our flaws, we stay extremely busy. And number five, relationships and codependency. Always needing validation. Now, if you want to hear those five, you have to go to the app and listen. Or they're located on Facebook, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, several others. iHeartRadio, quite a few others, though. You'll find us. Pull us up. Now, today we will cover substance abuse, our religious activity and legalism. We'll cover victimhood and mentality, perfectionism, and fear of rejection. These are the five subjects we'll cover today. So in totality, we will have 10 subjects that we covered under Who Told Thee That Thou Wast Naked? Number six, substance abuse. Drinking alcohol, using drugs, and other forms of escapism is used like medication. Some of the ways people try to cover up their emotional pain, their shame, and feelings of inadequacy. I hope you got that. These substances can sometimes numb our pain, and we're talking about drugs now. They can numb our pain so that we do not face our own realities and provide a temporary cover or hit the pause button from our emotional pain just for a little while so that we hide our reality and physical nakedness. Now, example, someone dealing with spiritual trauma, this double-mindedness that we have, and added a guilty conscience to it. And see, a double-mindedness means you're going back and forth, back and forth. You're jumping over here, whichever one provides relief for you. Or that's going to be an answer. I can move on. I can do this. I'm gone. Okay? But that's double-mindedness because you're not sticking with God. You're not sticking with the world or Satan. You're jumping back and forth. So this double-mindedness brings about a lot of confusion. And it brings about spiritual trauma because you have God on the inside. And when you have God on the inside, you can't help but think about God when you do these type of things. We also need to confront the deeper issues that we are facing. Now, our reference scripture on this particular example is found in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1. We got to move quickly. Come on, Bible scholars, let's go. Now, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Ephesians 5 and 18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. There is no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. But with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear. That means that he will not let no more come upon you than you can bear. Now that's if you're under his covering. Now if you're following Satan, then you have to deal with Satan and the flaws that come along with that. Number 7, religious activity or legalism. Now you gotta understand this and try to look at this in a worldview. Some people try to cover their guilt by relying on religious activity, busy doing the work of Jesus, or legalistic behavior. Is someone being very strict and hard on the other person, even though they are not doing it right themselves, to use the excuse that they are tough on you because they want you to be better than them. And at that very moment, and in reality, they saw you doing the very same thing that they do, and they did not like it. So therefore, at that moment, they might not even like themselves. But when they saw you doing that very same act, they also may believe that following religious rules and attending church and performing religious rituals can somehow erase or hide their sins rather than allowing God's grace to heal them from the inside. Now, the example on this one is someone may think that by serving in ministry and performing religious acts that they can cover up their moral failures and avoid dealing with their past or present mistakes. And I'm saying mistakes, but we know that they, most of them are sins, things that we do that we regret. Let's go to Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. It says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. And this is what it's telling you. The law is what, if you know it, if you follow it, if you read his commandments, it shows you where sin is. Okay? Because if you read it, thou shalt not sin, thou shalt not kill. Okay? Those kind of things are the law. But we are healed by his spirit. And I'm talking about Jesus the Christ. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. It says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy. He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, or through the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will help you walk through whatever you're going through and help you to heal from the inside. Amen. Now, victimhood mentality. Pay attention. Victimhood mentality is another way of covering up your personal responsibility for your own actions and sins. People may shift blame onto others, circumstances, and events in the past or in the present. Instead of taking responsibility for their own actions, for their own choices, and the consequences of their choices, they play the victim. Example, a person might repeatedly blame their upbringing. Oh, I didn't have a father. I didn't have a mother when I was growing up. Or they beat me so bad when I was little, they just abused me. Or pass it off and blame others for their current struggles, never addressing their roles or what their own choices and decisions played in their situation. They pass it off. They don't stand up and take their punishment. They have reasons why they should not be punished for their sins. Now, Romans 3 and 20 says, come on, Bible scholars. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Titus 3 and 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about perfectionism. Pay attention. Because these particular things happen every single day, and you can see it around you. You can see it in other people. Pay attention. Perfectionism can be a form of covering up imperfections. People who strive for perfection often hide their flaws and weaknesses in an attempt to control how others see them. They may not allow themselves to make mistakes or show their vulnerability because of fear that you might see it. And that if you see them or their imperfections, which will make them feel unworthy of love and success. Do you get that? Some people try to do perfectionism because they don't want to be seen any other way, and they don't want you to see them truly as they are, or perfectly. Let me read that again. Example, someone may avoid asking for help or delegating tasks because they want everything to be done perfectly. And I know you've seen these people before. These are the type of things they say. If you want something done right, you got to do it yourself. Hiding the fact that they could be overwhelmed or struggling themselves. Now, our reference scripture is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 20. For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities. And the power of Christ may rest upon me. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Now, this can sound a little bit confusing, but it's saying not as though I had already attained, like you already got it. Either we were ready, already perfect. No, we were not. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended for Christ. In other words, you are apprehended for Christ's sake. Okay? You cannot apprehend everything by yourself and without God, because some things are mysteries of God. Some things are in the Word, but the spirit of it lives within God. And the spirit tells you how it's supposed to be played out. The law is written in the commandments, in the Word. The spirit is played out on how you know, operate every day and how you do what you do every day, God's way. Now, the last one we have today is the fear of rejection. Now, people often try to cover up their nakedness out of fear that others will reject them if they see their flaws, their weaknesses, or past mistakes, or who they really are. They hide it. This fear can lead them to hide their true selves, presenting only the version of themselves that they think others will like or accept, often withdrawing from intimate relationships where true vulnerability is required. I hope you understand that they got a problem that they don't want to reveal, because they feel like if they show you their true selves, that you won't like them. Now, the example here is a person may avoid opening up emotionally in a relationship for fear that their partner will leave them. If the person truly knows who they are, this type of person will never fully show you who they truly are for the fear that you won't like them, that they'll be lonely, that they will be rejected. And people hate rejection. Now, our reference scripture is found in Isaiah 41 and 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Do you get that? Don't be fearful. Don't worry about if they will like you or not. There's always somebody else. And God will send the right people if you follow God. And he will also reveal who's for you and who's not if you just pray. If you just ask God, reveal their heart to me, Lord. Let me know why they're in my life. What do they want? God will reveal it. Make sure you ask in Jesus' name, and he will reveal these type of things to you. It may not come right away like a lightning bolt, but as time unfolds, as life unfolds, we will begin to see a pattern or exactly what they are after. And a lot of times they will tell you. It may not be all at once. It might even be in pieces. But stay focused. Amen. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. Therefore, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. So when we are fearful, what it's telling you is we have torment in my heart that somebody will see me and not like me. You have to release that fear and be yourself and not worry whether they like it or not, because they probably the same way. So if you like each other, fine. If you accept each other, fine. If you don't, move on. The last part of the scripture. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So that person may not love you. And I'm not talking about all the time love like a woman and a man. Could be the love that's involved in friendship. And there is love in friendship. There's acceptance in friendship. There are many things that happen in friendship that you should not have to work overtime to receive. Psalms 27:10. And it says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. And I'm not talking about up like you're dead and he's taking you up to heaven. I'm talking about he will pick up where they left off or what they did not do. He will pick it up and love you. Conclusion. In Genesis 3:11, God questioned to Adam and Eve was, who told thee that thou wast naked? Calls attention to how sin distorts our perception of ourselves and our relationship with God, because he tries to replace God. And evil can never replace the goodness of God. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Today, Father, we covered your word, bringing and highlighting the point that we need God, because we cannot do this alone. We need you filling us up all the day long, teaching us your will, your commandments, your ways, and the things that Jesus brought to the earth, which is the spirit of life, which is found in Christ Jesus. I pray that we receive the Holy Spirit to show us how to walk, how to live, and how to move in this reality that we deal with each and every day called life. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen and amen. Now, I want to tell you that I will have a handout on this lesson that you may download. And you can go to Facebook or to the app or some of the other places, and you'll be able to download this handout, which summarizes this message along with all the scriptures that we spoke of today. Or you have the option of downloading our app, which is found in the Google Play Store or the App Store. You can go there and type in Rick H. Carter Ministries in the search bar and download our app, which will have all of our sermons on it. Amen.
Have a blessed week. Take it away, take it away, take it away.